can keep in line. Everything's fine. You got all that you need. The Curry and the Keeper.
Curry and the Keeper, December 15, 2021. This is episode number 2. Cheers.
Cheers. Here we are. Wine is decanted.
Welcome, everybody. It is episode number 2 of Curry and the Keeper.
Two.
It's the sophomore episode. This is where we blow it.
Yeah.
This is where everyone goes, okay, that was fun, the first episode, but...
Yeah, because we got a lot of great responses from the first episode.
I have to say, the experience of launching a new podcast, completely podcasting 2.0, only on podcastindex.org, only with value for value streaming payments.
And on specialized podcast apps too, right?
Yeah, only on podcast... Well, you can add it to any app you want, but you can't get it if you're using like Apple. You'd have to add it manually.
Yeah,
because it's the man fighting against the man.
Excuse me.
Apple's the man. We're fighting against the man. We want to do this pure 2.0. We don't want to have everyone just part of the show. But yeah, the responses, the feedback was really nice. It was so nice mainly friends and family.
Yeah, my sister out in Indiana spreading the podcast to all of her friends and colleagues and business people, and love that.
Now,
shout out to Lisa. Thanks.
What are we drinking here? Because this is a Winery Wednesday. Typically, the idea is that we go to a winery here in the Hill Country, and then we bring a report and we rate the wine, we rate the overall ambiance, we rate the sommelier and the charcuterie board. And once again, we have failed to go to a winery.
Well, that's because we've been indulging in other things. We went to the supper event at Vaudeville, which was a wine pairing.
Well, hold on. First, what are we drinking?
We're drinking. It's called, it's called Shackled.
Shackled?
It's a California
Shackled.
Cab.
Shackled.
Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, Unshackled. It's Unshackled. 2019 California cab.
Okay. Let me try it again.
I picked it up at the Heath.
Ah, the bouquet is fabulous.
The color is fantastic.
You decanted it, though. I like that. We never decant wine, but you've decanted it for the show. That's
no, because
cool.
We're probably going to drink the whole bottle.
Yes, and seeing as we went to this Christmas party yesterday at Vaudeville, which is probably the best restaurant in Fredericksburg, I'd say. It has the class, and it's not really it's a bistro, and they're not open. And they're not open every night, and most things aren't open every night here. But it's two guys who run this place, and one is the chef, and the other is like the proprietor, I would say, Richard.
Yes.
And he invited us to join the wine club and then to come to the Christmas party, and we went.
Yeah.
This was an interesting education in Hill Country chic.
Well, we haven't done much in Hill Country, so we're like, you know what, we're going to get out. We're going to see if we can meet people. Yeah, we're going to get out and, you know, just enjoy a night out. And so we ended up going to...
You were pretty skeptical. You were like, from the moment I sent you the invitation, you kind of ignored that. And then we got roped into joining and committing because we bumped into the owner when we were having dinner.
Yes.
And you were like, well, like, how long is this going to take? And then it was an after party, which sends Tina into some kind of like... The term after party is just bad to you. You're like, I don't want to be in an after party.
Yeah, it just was not interesting to me at all to be there for late. Yeah. I don't know. I just wasn't into it.
So this is basically just the wine tasting and they had cheese and stuff. But the people there, I think that was the most fun for us.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, a lot of people think that Fredericksburg is nothing but old people. And that's quite... the opposite. There are a lot of young people here too. There are a lot of older people, but there are a lot of young people. And we saw a lot of young people last night, and they were the fashion of the evening was sequins. Sequins was everywhere. Gold and silver and red and black. It was everywhere. And I'm like, shoot, I didn't wear my sequins.
But like head to toe.
Yes.
I mean, complete sequin suit. I mean, to me, it was like Diana Ross, only not Diana Ross.
Yes.
Like, girl, you're flashing my eyes with your sequins. Yes. They're just bouncing off of me.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I don't think we didn't really talk to it. Well, we talked to a couple that on our way out as we were bailing. They were bailing, too.
Yeah, we saw one person that we know, Sarah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of nice. We saw the owner or the proprietor. And, yeah, it was a nice event. I mean, it was fine.
Yeah, yeah, we came home and we had nothing to eat. And so
there was no food there. Right? We were like, just
Well, that was the after party. They were going to kill a pig or a sheep or something.
They were pouring the alcohol like nobody's business, but there was nothing to sop up the alcohol in your system.
Just cheese.
Just cheese. Like,
I got up at 2 this morning and went, wine and cheese.
Seriously, not great for the digestive system.
Wine and cheese is what I feel.
But it was nice to get out. And Vaudeville is a nice restaurant. Interestingly enough, it has a retail store above the bistro, and it's kind of a high end. They carry Waterford and Baccarat and a lot of high end.
Oh yeah, and Rolex winding boxes and stuff, and you know, like flasks for gentlemen. It's a perfect gift store for that person you want to spend some money on, but don't know what to get them.
Mm-hmm. Like, and it's in the middle of Main Street, in downtown Fredericksburg, surrounded by tchotchke stores, which is kind of
it's like an
island in the middle of Main Street. That's kind of nice.
It's really odd because it's these two gay guys. I think they're married. Mm-hmm. And they're flamboyant. They have total, you know, like runway style. You know, and there's the local Fred people just enjoying it all.
In their sequins.
With their sequins. Like, remember, we're going to Vaudeville. Oh, I'm going to wear my sequins. Let me get them out of the mothballs. I think I had them since 1965.
Adam and I are terrible, too, because we judge everybody. We're like, look at that. Look at that. Look at the girl with the white boots.
No, you're the one. You're the one that said, look at the one with the white boots. What do you think? This is always dangerous when you say, what do you think? Because, you know, I have to really study. This is always a trick question. Let me see. So do I want this? Does she want it to be good? Not good? Is there something about this woman? Well, men know. You got to be very careful. So this woman had all white on and knee-high white boots, kind of like a... like one of those in the marching band.
She looked like Nancy Sinatra.
Yes, she did. Yeah, yeah. These boots are made for walking. Yeah. Exactly.
She definitely stood out.
She pulled it off, though. She could pull it off.
She looked great.
If you said, hey, baby, what do you think? Should I go out in this? I'd be like, take them off. Just take it all off. It's no good. Just take it off.
That's the one thing Adam does. It's my job. Adam will look at me and he'll like, go take that off. No. And I return the favor.
Yes,
as
you
well.
Do.
I do.
But you do it differently.
I'm like, you ironed your shirt? You did?
You're like, you're wearing that? And then I'll say, wasn't it good? No, it's fine. It's fine.
The operative
it's
fine, word.
The F word in the house. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway.
No, that was nice. Well, this will be our first Christmas in Fredericksburg, and Christmas without anybody. No one's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the kids. This is obviously why we have Miss Phoebe Buffet, is to fill the void of children who have abandoned us for the holidays.
And refuse to give us any grandchildren. Or Adam, any grandchildren?
Yeah.
He's ready to be grandpa. Me, not ready to hit the grandma moniker.
I'm ready. I want to teach some kids some stuff and then give them back.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
So, yeah. So it's the two of us. So it's going to be a new normal for us.
Yeah.
So
we've got Ellen in Maine. We've got Elise in New York and Christina in Rotterdam.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're actually trying to get Christina and Kevin, her new partner.
Mm-hmm.
Who is not a birthing person.
No.
This is new.
He's a man.
He's a man.
He's not a birthing person.
Well, he might be. He can be a birthing
person. Is he a cis?
He's cishet, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's a dude. Yeah, but he's very sweet to his mom.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's also from the ghetto. He's from the kind of, he worked himself up out of like the bad part of Rotterdam. Kind of the gangster hood, the hood, the hood, without a doubt.
There's a hood in Rotterdam?
Oh, shit, there's a hood. But he still takes care of his mom. And yeah, he doesn't live in the hood anymore.
Well, we're hoping they're going to be out soon.
Yeah, and so, you know, the rule now with Omicron, they changed it. Non-immigrant, non-citizens have to show proof of vaccination with booster now.
Oh.
Which, of course, almost no one has.
Oh, so is that 3 shots?
That's 3, yeah. Mm. And there's all these discrepancies because, now, Kevin had 1 shot and then he's like, nope, not going to do that again.
Did he have a not good reaction to the first one?
No, he did not have a good reaction. He kind of got coerced into it, you know, typical story. Anyway, It was just not for him, so he's not going to do a second one. Christina, you know, Christina's like, I don't need it. I've slept next to sick people for weeks, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to get it. So I'm not mm-hmm. going to get coof. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get the shot.
Not going to get the coof.
I'm not going to get it, and you have to respect that, of course. And I think she's right. So now how do we, so she can come in because citizens can, this is how stupid it is. Citizens can come in, without vaccination, but they have to have a test. Okay. That's fine. But non-citizens can't because, you know, your passport makes all the difference. And so we're working the back channels of, you know, the people I know, and there's ways to do it. The caveat is, this is pretty funny. He would probably have to quarantine in our house for 5 days, which, okay, they were planning on coming here anyway, right? That's not a problem.
And who's going to, how are they going to check on that?
They will, or at least they can. And in addition to that, he has to take a test on the 5th day and then submit that. And this was the funny part. I was asked several times by my people, does he have a criminal record? I was like, no, he doesn't have a criminal record. No, are you absolutely sure? I said, I'll double check.
Because then he'll be free, right? Because they're letting all the criminals no, out, so that's not a problem.
No. Now, interestingly, the path that we're taking, which is some kind of diplomatic exemption, I don't know. I don't ask questions of my friends. They're just so sweet to help us. Should he lie about that? Then he would be refused entry into the U.S. for 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm like, hey, man, I'm just asking. I'm just going to ask again just so we all know what's going on. If anything above a parking ticket, you tell me.
Give me a break. And so then our borders are completely open by Mexico. They can just walk right over.
Yeah,
and we know a lot of them have criminal records. I'm not mm-hmm. saying all of them, but we know that they do have them. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yes.
That is bullshit.
Yeah. Hey, but most people can't get in at all. We might be able to get them in for New Year's.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, I haven't seen Christina. It's going on
more than 2 years.
Almost 3 years. Three years mm-hmm. in May.
Mm-hmm. And they just extended their curfew, which is 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. No one allowed out on the street for another until January 14th. This was supposed to be
on
3 weeks.
Street. Nobody on the street.
You can't get, you cannot be outside after 5 p.m. and before 5 a.m.
And so are there any businesses that are open in Holland?
not after 5 p.m.
I mean, all the restaurants must be just completely
obliterated. Yeah. No, it's completely screwed. They're crazy over there. They're crazy.
I'm glad we live in Texas. That's all I got to say.
Well, especially Fredericksburg is now what did they vote to be a sanctuary city? So no government, state or federal, could ever shut down Fredericksburg business again.
Right. What was the thing that they just passed in Gillespie County too?
That's to get money from the opioid settlement. It destroyed a lot of people here too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And continues. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Is that Sackler? Is that Purdue?
Yeah. Well, it's not just Purdue. It's also Johnson & Johnson, mm-hmm. who are paying 5 times the fine of Purdue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but don't pay attention to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Yes.
All right. Well, fingers crossed, Christina and Kevin will be here soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my sisters are coming out. My sister Tony and Lisa are coming out. Lisa's been here several times, so she likes hanging out with
us. Wait, they're coming out together, the sisters?
Yeah.
We should have them on the podcast. Holy crap. That'll be a I don't have enough microphones or limiters.
And I don't think we would.
It's hard to explain 3 Midwest girls who are sisters hanging out together.
And we're all badass, man. We don't take shit from anybody.
You're pretty much the Kardashians of Northwest Indiana. You are. You are.
I mean, the armpit of America. We are the Kardashians.
I mean, I know that Tony, you know, Tony will beat people up. If you say something,
not so much anymore.
If you say something wrong about her sisters, like, she will jump over the bar and rip your head off. Yeah. She's great.
That's the one thing about my mom. Like, she taught us not to take shit from anybody, so we don't. We just don't.
I know, darling. So. I've been with you for six and a half, I've been quote unquote married to you for 6.5 years. So yes, I know the shit is not taken around these houses.
And my sisters love Adam. They just love him. They think he's funny and kind and generous. And
they're fun.
They love
they're
him. Fun. And they love saying that my brother-in-law is Adam Curry. They love it.
That
they
really
pimp you out.
That
all
really
the time.
Works in Northwest Indiana still. The people are still walking around with their headbangers ball hair. Like, yeah, man, I know the man, know a man, headbangers ball.
Well, when my sister Angie passed away three years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And we had the little memorial service for her. And
hit me.
All right.
I need some more.
Oh,
of that.
You need more wine?
No, don't cheers me. Hit me with some more wine.
I was in the middle of a story.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. I got to pour some wine.
Do it for effect. There we go. It's barely hitting the noise gate. Okay. It's good. Thank you.
Anyway, when Angie had her memorial service
now
in December.
Now hit me again. Now cheers.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
You're my story, man.
We always do this.
Cheers.
All right, cheers.
I hope you're drinking with us. Somebody had tweeted that they were going to have some cheese, but not have an egg. And I don't know where the egg situation came in, why they even mentioned it.
We don't have eggs on this show.
Eggs and wine, they don't go.
Tina, you have to, and let's put a pin in your story.
Okay.
Tina has ovum phobia.
Yeah. They're disgusting.
She has a real egg issue.
I cannot eat eggs.
And it's a childhood trauma. We don't have to get into it.
Oh,
but.
And so when we went to the supper event at Vaudeville, it was absolutely lovely.
Wait. You got to explain. This is something different. Hold on a second. Let me step back. So we don't spend money a lot. We love to travel. That's kind of done. The one thing we've always liked to do is at least once a year have one crazy-ass dinner at some restaurant that you really should just never go to. And so we don't have that. We've been to a couple of in Paris we did one, in Vegas we did Joel Robuchon.
And in Italy we did one.
Italy. Mm-hmm. So we had, and that's where I proposed to you.
Yeah.
So that was the perfect one. I know. Thank you. Including fireworks.
I don't know how he's going to top that. Even fireworks.
Were there fireworks? Did you see
there
fireworks?
There were, but you didn't arrange for those.
That's what you think. Called George Clooney. George, fire that shit up, man. Gotta impress her. Come on, man.
Make her say yes.
What? What did you just say?
Make her say yes.
Shit. All right. So the restaurant Vaudeville, this is like our universe now is this one restaurant. They have once a month a supper club, which, you have to sign up for. It's the secret handshake. It's a whole different part in the back.
Secret door you got to go through.
It is.
We didn't even know existed.
Yeah. Then and obviously it's a fixed price and you can choose if you want to have the wine tasting with it. So I'd heard about this. We had missed one or two since we've been here, or a couple perhaps. And so one was coming up and then, we got on the list. And so we went. And this was seven courses.
Yeah,
seven
six
courses,
or seven, yeah.
And every course had a wine. And we know all the personnel pretty much at the restaurant anyway. So it was really nice. It was really fun to because they were, tell us about the food. We took pictures.
We
need those in the show notes.
Oh my gosh, let me see if I can even pull them up.
They were so bad. We take pictures of the food.
Well, because I knew we were going to talk about it.
Yes.
So.
No, but we've taken pictures of all our expensive restaurant foods.
Well, we started off with some type of champagne cocktail that had the little clothespin on it with
yes.
the sage. So yeah. I can't remember what that was.
Like a little Barbie doll clothespin.
And then it started with, oh my gosh, I'm looking at the pictures. It looked like salmon, like in a rose.
Oh, it was
like
around,
a rose
yeah.
with a little bit of caviar at the top. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was almost a shame to eat it.
But every dish that came out was a work of art. It was, and it was paired with an excellent
wine. It was maybe only 50 people, I think, the whole night. That's what they served. Not much more than that.
And the one thing, though, that came out that I was not particularly happy about was...
I saw it. I saw it coming out. I'm
what
like,
was it? Well, I can't remember what it was.
It was a polenta. It was a polenta and right smack in the middle.
It was a freaking egg. raw egg in the center. And so they're serving it. And, they're going through their whole diatribe about, it's infused with this and laced with this. And it's blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at it. And I look at Adam and I go, is that an egg?
And I'm like, eat around it, honey. Eat around it. Just eat around it. It's okay. It won't hurt you. Don't pierce it. If you pierce it, you ruin your meal. Honestly, I didn't pierce the egg yolk either.
I know.
You've ruined me. I used to like eggs a lot. You kind of.
Like, who puts a freaking egg on a hamburger? That is the most disgusting thing.
This is one of our relationship moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I shall explain. No, you explain. Use your story.
We were flying out. It was after a show on a Thursday. I don't remember where we were going. We were going somewhere, and we were at the airport in Austin.
I'm tired.
He's bleary-eyed, and he had to pack up his studio and grumbling. And we weren't married yet. We were dating.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. And so we ended up just ordering airport food, and I ordered a burger, and I opened up my burger, and there's a freaking fried egg on it. And I turned to Adam, like, oh my God, there's an egg on it. And he turns to me and he's like, just take it off and eat it. I'm like, oh. He didn't fully accept my trauma.
I did
trauma.
Not accept your trauma. I was so off base with that one.
Yeah, I guess you had to be there. But yeah, no, that was,
no, everyone understands exactly what was going on.
Yeah. So no, I'm not an egg person. But anyway, other than the egg in the, it was like a soup sort of, polenta soup.
It was
sort
polenta,
of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else was good, but.
The whole evening was fantastic.
No, I don't do eggs. The only way I do eggs are in a cake. Cooked.
Yes.
But not, I can't eat the potato salad with the chunks of egg in it. Yeah. Oh, man, gag me.
Well, when you say chunks, it already sounds not so appetizing.
And remember when I was on Instagram and I would sit there and I would just watch these egg recipes like, ew, it just grossed me out, but I was mesmerized.
And you were feeding the algo.
It was like looking at an accident. I was feeding the algo, so egg recipes just kept coming up on my Instagram.
You should know that my dear wife has an addiction problem. Her addiction, it varies. You know, sometimes she'll go from Twitter to Instagram, but I'd say the addiction is there. And then the egg thing was interesting because I love watching the algos. And, you know, I can see exactly, oh, she's looking at cake. You like cake a lot. If people making cakes, spinning cakes out of different colors and cool cakes. But then when the egg thing, the algo was just feeding you eggs and you just kept on like looking at them, like you couldn't look away. And then the algo went, more eggs, more eggs, more eggs. She likes, we were like, I was getting free offers for eggs from Instacart. It was like, stop. I love you for that. Doesn't it fry your brain?
What?
Social media?
Yeah. I don't mind it. I don't mind. Yeah. I'm not on Facebook, but I do. No. I mean, I've curated my my Instagram. I do not follow celebrities.
You think you've? Oh, okay.
I don't follow any celebrities.
You've trained the algo to leave that away.
I couldn't stand them trying to tell me what I should say. You know, like put the black box up and say this and denounce that. And I don't need some Hollywood person telling me what I should and should not think. So it's very curated. So I follow a lot of fitness, a lot of health, a lot of functional medicine. I follow certain families. I have my Insta families that I follow that I know all their stories and I'm invested in their life. I don't know who they are, but I'm invested. So I enjoy it. I
like the reels or, you
know, Adam is addicted to the reels.
Most of it's TikTok repurposed on reels. Mm-hmm. That's today's television. There's no doubt about it. Those guys are kicking ass. I have to admit, there's nothing like sitting there. Everything's 30 seconds. It's a cute dog video. It's a cute kid video. It's funny relationship, husband, wife doing pranks on each other. You don't like it. Boom. You're on to the next one. Oh, my kid's dead. Boom. On to the next one. I hate those.
My kid's dead?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was 1 year ago. And I feel her.
I shouldn't laugh.
No, I feel that. I feel that. But that's like.
But we don't want to watch them to be put to no. Debbie Downer.
That's
sort
the, that's the algo trying to see. Are you ready yet? Are you ready for some downer? Do you want a little downtime?
Yeah.
They throw that in. I'm convinced of it.
So now that we have a dog, we watch a lot of dog type videos, and the algo's feeding us that. So
how is the dog doing?
She's doing well. Oh, we have a report though. We had some friends over a couple weekends ago.
Yes, we do have an important report.
So these are my friends. These are my very first friends from Austin, from Ronald McDonald House Charities.
I'm friends with all of them now,
yeah,
too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They're friends of ours. But so they came over for a little holiday gathering. They were all super excited to meet Phoebe.
That's right. They all came in like, hey, Adam. Hey, Phoebe. Hey, Phoebe. I got a present for Phoebe.
Yeah, they brought her gifts. They didn't bring Adam anything. But Anyway, so one of my friends, Allison, who's a school teacher, she loves animals. She does. And
we love Allison, too. She's a challenge in our life, but we love her. I have respect for school teachers.
Yes,
you cannot take that away from me. No matter how,
although woke, she didn't know that.
No matter how woke she is, what didn't she know?
We were playing the game, and she thought a mass was on a boat. And I'm a mass. I go, no, it's a mast. I go, you're an English teacher. And
AP, no less.
AP English teacher. She thought a mass, M-A-S-S, was on a boat.
Yeah, that could have been alcohol.
It could have been the edible that she consumed.
I have no idea how they got that. Yeah. Who was handing out edibles?
That would be you. You are the Mr. Candyman.
Yeah, I am.
Adam's the Candyman.
Hey, let's play a game. Yeah, let's have some candy and play the game.
Anyway, so Allison, Phoebe was sleeping by Adam, and Allison came up behind her, and Phoebe doesn't
and
know.
And kind of like did a whole like spooning bear hug type thing with Phoebe.
And Phoebe turned around, and
She bit her.
She snipped
drew blood.
At her.
She drew blood, like two little holes in her arm.
Yeah, like vampire holes.
It was
shocking for both of us.
I blame myself because I should have seen that someone was doing something messed up with a dog. Because that could have happened to anybody. Maybe not us because, you know, she knows us now.
Yeah, but
even
I was,
Dale. Dale was like, oh, Phoebe, don't worry. You're a girl. I'm like, Dale, she.
Dale's like, fuck Allison. Are you okay, Phoebe?
She bit Allison.
I was devastated, goodness, though, because the last thing I wanted was our dog to be biting guests. But my friend Letty, who has had rescue dogs, had said to me, she's like, look, she's a rescue. She has trauma. You cannot come up on a dog like that. You just can't. And she said, and if you are going to throw her away because of that, throw her my way. I will take her.
Yeah, I was not I was not ready to throw her away.
No, I wasn't either, but I was shocked. I mean, I didn't want that to happen.
Phoebe and I were at the mailbox. You know, our mailboxes are up at Central Place, and we met the mail carrier, Diane.
Oh, her name's Diane?
Diane. I know Diane because she's brought many. We have a long driveway, and the UPS guy leaves all the shit out, like, you know, 200 yards away. You got to carry it up.
No Christmas present for him.
No. The United States Postal Service worker, which is a constitutional job, I have great respect, just like Allison.
Except when they're grumpy at the post office.
Well, but even then, but I have respect for the mail carriers. And so I was chatting, like, hey, Diane. I didn't know her name then. And I introduced her to Phoebe. And she's precious, beautiful. She's like, sniff, sits down. We're chatting. She's just sitting beautiful, you know, perfect. And I'd said to Diane, make sure you come up tomorrow or whatever. You know, we got a Christmas gift for you. And I opened the door and Phoebe's barking at her. I'm like, what are you doing? And she was like, ugh. Like, no, it's okay. I just threw Phoebe back. Like, what is that?
I don't know.
Part of the trauma. It's got to be. Because, you know, I had her. It's Diane. And Phoebe's like, hi. Ruff. What are you doing?
I don't understand it either. Mm-hmm. We know that she's...
she has trauma.
Yeah. And every time a diesel truck, a pickup truck goes by, she stops.
With a trailer.
With the trailer. She stops.
If it has a trailer, that's the best. Yeah. She likes those the best.
I don't know. It just breaks my heart to she's the sweetest dog. We have had no problem other than her biting Allison. But, you know, small
and that's
thing.
Not really a problem. Let's be honest. I mean, everyone wants to bite Allison from time to time. Shut up, Allison.
No, I mean, Allison, she was really at fault. But we've had no problem with her. And to the thought of somebody
You slipped that in. No, what? Yeah, she was really at fault. No,
well, no, she shouldn't have come up behind
it. It was
her.
A dumb idea. I take responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. But what's my point? I don't know. Other than that, she's just been a fantastic dog. I can't understand why anybody would have abandoned her.
It's so weird not to have a backstory.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
So when I see all these stories about on my Instagram reels about people rescuing dogs and, you know, bringing them back to health and just caring for them, it makes me sad to think that that's exactly what Phoebe went through. Because she is a great dog and I don't understand why somebody just, I guess it happens all the time. I just don't understand it. So
if people, especially dogs, and I think especially in rural communities, they're easy to toss dogs aside if mm-hmm. they don't fulfill the mission, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She fulfills our mission, man. What a great watchdog. What a beautiful, lovely companion.
Yeah.
And it's so bad now that half the time that when we're in the house, you're like, what? No, I was talking to the dog. What'd you say? I was talking to Phoebe.
We've actually turned into those people that we used to make fun of all the time, although we will not take her to a restaurant or anything like that.
No, we don't trust her, but
we've turned into those people. we don't have any grandkids. You know, we don't have any kids around, so.
She does not like toys.
No, does not play with toys. She just likes her bones. That's it.
Yeah. She likes hanging out. She likes hanging out with us, basically. She's not in the studio tonight. She was tired.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is watching her kind of unfold, because when we first had her, the first few days, her tail was down.
Like a lotus.
Yeah, her tail was down. She didn't interact. Now she's so happy to see us. Her tail is wagging. She gives kisses.
She was on her back with her legs wide open with you. She's like, hey, I trust you.
Adam does not hate dogs. He adores
dogs.
No, I love dogs.
Of course I love dogs. They're people. Didn't you know that?
Dogs are people too, man.
They're people too.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do a couple boostograms because, part of... Now, again, we started this show because we thought it would be fun to do and people might like listening to it. And that turns out to be true so far. Sophomore show, you never know.
Yeah, we don't know where it's going. We haven't gotten our legs under us.
Well, we are gonna get guests in. We're definitely gonna have guests on the show for sure. And that'll be a variety of people. Oh, man.
Oh, man. We should get my sister on here because she's got all those plastic surgery stories.
Will she divulge? She's funny as hell, too.
As long as she doesn't say any names.
It's like a HIPAA violation in action.
She doesn't say any names.
Your sister's a... She has shit on her phone. Like, look at this. Look at these boobs. Look at that ass. Oh, my God. Can you believe it? Like,
look at this labiaplasty.
This, by the way, is where my ears perk up. This is where I'm like... The what?
No, Ed's like, let me see.
I'm not like that at all. I'm like,
You're like,
Now, luckily, I have a lot of experience with the plastic surgery industry, so I know some things.
Dude, tell how?
Because my ex-wife was basically Mr. Potato Head. All the pieces were stuck on, you know. So I paid for them, too.
Mrs. Potato Head.
Yeah, but it was... It's interesting to know all the things. But holy crap.
But she has funny stories.
Just about the patients. Like crazy.
The doctor that she works for told a patient that she should take a bag of peas and use the peas to help with the swelling. And the woman turned to the doctor and said, should I take the peas out of the bag? Like, no, you keep the peas in the bag.
Definitely having the sisters on when they're here. That'll be crazy. That will be crazy. I can't wait for that. Maybe we shouldn't have any interesting people, just our friends who are interesting enough, and family. They're interesting enough.
So many of our friends would. Yeah, we have a lot of interesting friends.
But what I mean is no one like it's social media people, the people we're talking about. No, it's like, I think we should have our own people. We got to get Mike on the show. With Mike, we put Mike on the show. We say, ask him one question. Hey, Mike, so what was it like being cop in Kerrville and then just walk away? And then we can have wine, we come back, and then Mike's still telling his story.
Mike has stories.
Mike has the best stories.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The best stories. Okay, we'll do that.
All right, so you were going to go into boostograms. And then we have some emails. We have some questions from my friend Julie Simon from Austin sent me some questions.
Now, let's do that first, because what I'd like is, I don't know exactly what we're doing. We've agreed, we don't know what we're doing. But to hear from people like Julie... Now, we know Julie and Ben. We've known them from, when we first started dating 6 or 7 years.
I was doing a video for Ronald McDonald House Charities, and she used to work for one of the local television stations, and she volunteered her time to help with the videos, and she did all the interviewing.
Right.
So I did the directing and the producing, and she did all the interviewing, and she became a friend, and I actually met her right when we started dating.
And I remember we went to dinner with her and her husband. Your husband, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was trying to kind of connect with Ben, didn't really
connect. He's kind of quiet. He's quiet. Yeah,
But then all of a sudden, they crop up years later. Like, we'd basically not been in contact with
them. I kept in touch with her when I worked at Ronald McDonald House.
Right,
and then
but
I
not for the
contact.
Past three mm-hmm. years, at least, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, my God, we're in Austin, and, you know, things are changing. And we listened to Adam's show, and oh my God. So they came out and had a really good time. And it was nice to connect with them. You were working. It was nice to connect with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I was in Chicago at the time.
Were you in Chicago? Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So
she listened and she sent us an email.
Yes. Yeah, so she said, it was so wonderful hearing your voice after so long, felt so familiar. They would really love to come out to Fredericksburg. So then she said, how many people listening do you think laid in bed Saturday morning looking at Fredericksburg property on Zillow like we did and then listened to a podcast about life in Fredericksburg post-Austin? It was eerie.
It's a sequined life, baby.
Yeah. And she goes on, she says, it was all new, you guys dating when we did our videos. So it was like a refresher stroll down memory lane for me hearing how you all met, et cetera. Here's what I want to hear more of since you guys are so open about your opposition to the mainstream. I am taking notes how to be bold and brave and still comfortable in social situations. So one of the first questions she said, how have your previous life friends, lifelong friends reacted to hearing you don't have a ticket on the lefty train? I guess for me, I don't cross over into those types of conversations. I would have to say I have one friend back in Florida that's kind of distanced herself a little bit from me. But I reached out to her and wished her happy birthday, but we steer away from those conversations. And
yeah, it's interesting. Now, I don't have many friends, but even like the friends that I have, those problems don't really exist. Like even Tim and Kim are friends who are definitely Democrats. And by the way, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a member of any party of anything. I vote how I feel and not party lines or right, left or anything. But I tend to be more conservative with a lot of things, but I'm very liberal with other things. It's even if they have different views and we discuss different views, it's not a fucking issue.
Well, Allison, for instance, she's very much of a Democrat.
She's like spiking left, like massively left.
And we've had her to our home several times and had very spirited conversations and walked away and we were fine. We completely respect each other's perspectives. And there is some crossover. It isn't all just cut and dried. Yeah.
That's what I love seeing, because even Allison isn't. She's not completely all. There's always some bit. No one is left or right. It's not binary, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if you find, if you just go into that, like, hey, it's not binary, man. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that is. That you'd think would be hard is vaxxed, unvaxxed. We both are not vaccinated. We have our own reasons, but mainly because we think we're healthy.
I'm not putting that shit in my body.
Body.
Nope.
But again, that's up to everybody else. But I would say everyone who came to visit us was all vaccinated.
Yeah, and they didn't ask me.
Not a single problem. No one was being weird about it.
No. Not at all.
I really appreciated them for that.
And a majority of my family, including my two daughters, are vaccinated, and I completely respect their choice, and they respect mine. So it has not been an issue.
If anything, they would be worried that you would get sick.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
That's exactly.
But even that, I don't think they're thinking that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm seeing more and more people saying, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? I got to do another one? What? Is this thing not working?
What's your number?
That's Mo, by the way. I picked that up and I started using. I got to give Mo props. He's the one that started saying, what's your number?
What's your number?
Yeah, he started that.
Okay, Mo, we're giving you props.
As he deserves.
Okay. The next question is, have you had some really uncomfortable moments where you've been called names? Yes. Yeah, I had someone very.
Tina calls me names all the time.
I do not.
Really annoying.
I do not. I've had somebody very close to me that I love very much refer to me as a white supremacist because we watch Tucker Carlson at night. And the reason we watch Tucker Carlson is for Adam's job. That's why we do it, because I think he's absurd half the time. I just disputed it and it's just
really,
moved on.
It's really even, but that's knee-jerk. That's all knee-jerk stuff. It's professional and personal blur so much. Nothing hurts me anymore. I've been called names since the moment I was on the radio when I was 15.
Yeah.
So I'm so used to people calling me names.
And when you're not as active on Twitter as you used to be, but when you were, people were coming at you left and right. Cause people are just they're warriors behind their keyboard.
Yeah. So I just like, it's not that important to me. I always think, why am I wasting my good energy on someone else's platform? I'd rather waste it on Curry and the Keeper or no agenda. It's much more fun.
Yeah.
You know, this is our own shit. We can talk about, I don't need to argue with people on Twitter.
And people can sit there and call us, call me all sorts of names. I don't care. I stand in my own truth. I know who I am. I don't need to prove that to anybody. And I don't really care.
You're so sexy when you talk like that.
Thank you, baby. let's see. How do you maneuver this with your millennial daughters? Do they think you are nutball? No, actually, I have very, very spirited intellectual conversations with my oldest daughter, and we completely respect where each other's coming from. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have that. And I completely respect exactly what they believe in and what, how they want to live their life. They're grown women. And I, you know, I just think about how when I was their age and my parents were older, and my parents thought we were crazy because we were young. And I think we're just in that mindset of, you know, they just think differently. They're a different generation. And so I think that, you know, I think the respect goes both ways with at least, yeah, I think it goes both ways. Now with Christina is very much in alignment with how you think, don't you?
Okay. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. She's always been like that. But of course I had her drinking rainwater when she was 9. We can't drink the fluoridated water, baby. Don't drink out of the tap. Drink some rainwater out of the barrel. So she got an indoctrination very, very early.
Yeah.
But she's beaten her own path.
Yeah.
Yeah. She helps a lot of people too. She's really good at helping young people figuring out stuff.
Christina's an old soul. She's very, very wise. Old soul, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I think that at a certain point, everyone, you know, when you're around the 25-year level, then you can start to, that's when a child can start to have a rational conversation with their parent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they're open to it. There's some people that aren't open to it.
So we're fortunate that way, I guess.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
She also asked, what's it like starting over in a new town at your stage of life? Do you think there is something to not staying in the same town for life with lifelong friends you thought would be in your life forever?
Well, you can't ask. I've moved 37 times in my life.
And
my
lifelong friends are in the Chicago area. And with the internet, with social media, with texting, with FaceTime, I don't feel like.
But even our friends in Austin, we have been entertaining more than we ever have since we've been together. Now we have a nice guest suite, which is nice. But you know, you move out of Austin, you can get something a little bigger. We have a great, so people, our rich friends, really rich friends, come here and want to stay.
Yeah,
that means that we're a destination.
Yeah,
we're an important destination. Yeah. But that's been great. People coming over, we drink, we go to dinner, we hang out. They stay overnight, in the morning, goodbye.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them don't even want coffee. Like, see ya. Bye.
And we have some friends here. We have Mike and Sarah who are friends here.
We're building friends.
So I would say it's been exciting starting over. I've enjoyed it immensely. And you're my favorite person to be around. I mean, I dig you. You're a good age.
We get along pretty well.
We do. Yeah. We do. You're funny. You make me laugh.
I think. Now, we don't have your typical 9-to-5 job lifestyle. Not usually. So it's not, you know, your results may vary, but I find it very easy to make acquaintances and perhaps subsequently friends out here.
Yeah.
I definitely like the people we just encountered so far. I consider them to be good buddies, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I know, it's like, I'm going to have to, you know, power wash the roof. I know my guy Eric's going to be the guy for that.
Well, and I met this at work. This guy happened to walk in and we started struck up a conversation.
Tommy.
And he lives in Waco now, and his daughter went to school with my daughter, and bada boom, bada bing. He's our landscaper.
He also drives the limo.
And he loves Adam.
He drives the pink limo for the wine tasting bachelorette. But we needed some help with some, you know, a lot of trees died during the big Snowmageddon. Snowmageddon we had last year.
So I would say it's been great. I have no problem with starting over. I like it, actually.
Yeah, I was looking for this clip. I was going to record it. I couldn't find it before the show. It's of Jordan Peterson. And it was about the the phrase never again. And this kind of ties into friends and who you're talking to and how do you, you know, do you talk to people who have different thoughts or different political ideas or different vaccination status. And it was a very short clip, so I'm pissed I couldn't find it. He said, what is the takeaway from never again, which of course refers to the Jews and the Holocaust. And you've heard this never again, mm-hmm. never again, never mm-hmm. again. And he says the only takeaway any intellectual person with any thinking capability is we were the Nazis. We, the people, were the Nazis. And that's the thing that we have to look out for. Because good people don't understand what they're doing by shunning people this mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. And that's the never again part that we're missing. Mm-hmm. It's like, look at at least five psychological experiments. You've seen them. Well, you have to shock this person. And now you've got to up the voltage. You've seen that, the mm-hmm. black and white test. Mm-hmm. So people will do that. Mm-hmm. That's the lesson. And that's the thing. It's not everybody. And a lot has changed since World War II. But we still have to be really cognizant that we, the people, we're the ones that screw each other over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm proud to say that I am accepting of anybody. I completely respect their choices, because you have to choose for your own life what works for you. You have to stand in your own truth. And unfortunately, if those friends don't feel the same way with me and choose not to be a part of my life, then that just gives me insight into really what the relationship is about. And I do believe that people come into our lives for a reason. And sometimes they stay for long times, and sometimes they exit. Yeah. And there's a reason why they were brought there. And just rejoice in that and just let it go. So,
yeah, I agree. It's also in our own attitude. If you're thinking this guy's a fucking Nazi, but I approach the person with love, sometimes it's better. It works out better that way.
Yeah. I certainly have lines that are drawn, like, you know, abuse and stuff like that. But for the most part, I know that I'm very, very open, and I'm open to learning for sure.
Yeah.
Open to constantly learning. So,
I guess to wrap that up, the polarization that a lot of people are feeling, it also lives within them. You let it polarize you. You don't let them become the enemy. Don't let your neighbors become the enemy. You know, approach them with whatever.
Yeah, and life is too short. Man, I lost a sister at 48.
I wrote that down as a show note, as show prep. Here it is.
It's just too short.
Mortality. Life is. How do you feel? We're now moving up towards 60.
Yikes.
Some of us are closer to it than others. I'm significantly younger.
What abs, dude? He's not significantly under.
Hey, you want 24 months to just go fuck around and do nothing? That's all the extra I have over you. This is good wine.
It is good wine. But no, life is too short to be focused on bullshit, like,
do you
problems.
I think often, what is another 25 years?
Oh, he needs more wine. Hold on. 1 second, please.
I do.
What's another 25 years?
I've had these thoughts.
I hope I don't develop a hump.
Some things I have no comeback for. Because I'm the one that'll develop the hump. If anybody's going to get hump, it's going to be me. Thank you. No, I have these thoughts. I know you have them too.
What are the thoughts? What?
The thoughts are, I'm 57.
You're 57?
I know.
Damn, you're old.
20 years. I'll be 77. You know, by then.
And you'll probably still have your hair.
Oh, no. The hair gods have blessed this man. I love my...
He thanks his follicles every day, by the way.
Thank you, hair. Thank you, hair. I love you, hair. Thank you. I really do.
Okay, you were
saying. It's so weird, though, because I remember when my life has been... There have been so many different milestones, and because I've had multiple careers and just all these great things have happened to me. And like, that's what happened when I was 15 and I was 19 and I was 24. And then I was a millionaire before I was 30. And then I was broke.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam. Sold those Bitcoins. Good job.
That was the second time I went broke. when I sold the inheritance.
But you loved every minute of it.
Yes, and I'm excited about every minute. But I'm actually like, holy shit, the runway. I can see it's not that crazy far out anymore. Do you ever look at it that way?
You mean like there's not a lot of runway left?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, for 25, sure.
30 years. I want to be 98. I think that's a good age for me. A lot of men in my family have lived to be old. My dad abused himself like crazy and lived to be 80. So my grandfather, 98, you know, we make it.
Yeah.
We live long. And I'm excited about that. But also like, oh, that's going to suck. What's, you know?
I guess I don't look at the runway, but I try to stay as present as possible. And I think about, I think about when we met, it's like life just changed and it just became much more colorful. It just became much more colorful. And so I'm just kind of living in that colorful world right now.
Yeah. I want it to last a lot longer than what I see.
Yeah.
I look back and said 20 years ago, that's nothing. That was 2000.
No, I know. 20 years now, you'd be 77. Yeah, as long as we keep walking the dog and we stay in shape and eat good, well,
I've calculated that I walk the dog quite a bit because I'm home more than you are. But I've calculated I do close to a 4K every day walking, but it's close to a 4K.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I appreciate it.
How do I look?
Yeah. And you're really good at picking up the poop too. So
I am the poop scoop meister. I have the reverse HEB bag trick down to a science. Tina has to shine the flashlight.
We always evaluate like, oh, it's a five dropper.
Yes, it's a five dropper. I'm very big on looking at the poop for consistency. Dog looks healthy. Sometimes like, whew, little, we need to.
More than you want to know.
We need to hold back on the teriyaki snack because holy crap, dog, what's going on inside you?
All right, yes. Let me end.
All right, last question.
We're still on Julie's note.
Okay.
How has your life been enriched by the No Agenda community since I know they're from all walks of life, Christian, atheist, wealthy, not wealthy, urban, rural? I would have to say.
This is a question for you. Because you came in 6.5 years ago completely virgin to the No Agenda community and to Gitmo Nation. And yes.
I would have to say that they are hands down amazing. And I know Adam doesn't, or you don't like the word awesome, but amazing. It's very comforting to know that they're out in the corners of the world, that if anything should ever happen to our daughters or us, that they would be there in a second to lend a hand if needed. I think what they've done for the No Agenda community has been amazing. And it's just been so interesting to meet people from different walks of life that are just eager to learn and to share and to break bread with and to drink wine with. And I just think I feel very, very grateful and blessed for everybody that contributes to that amazing community.
And for a long time, I thought it was a very unique American quality to be able to, you know, Americans grab a couple of red Solo cups, a couple of Miller Lights and some chips, and we got a party, right? That's how we're known all over the world. So it's easy for Americans to get together and say, hey, we're hanging out, we have a party. But for this to be working around the world is phenomenal. And it's the same thing. It's the age spectrum, the race, religion, gender, sexuality.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And to me, it's like, I know what humanity is.
Oh.
And it's Gitmo Nation. It is true humanity in its purest form, because not only do we feel comfortable knowing that we've got a network all around the world. When we had the Snowmageddon, we had Baron Scott, you know, mobilizing all kinds of shit to get people who were stuck or whatever. And this was happening everywhere. Australia, their meetup community is helping each other all the time.
Well, when my daughter moved to New York, people reached out to me and said, look, if she needs anything, let me know. When my daughter moved to Maine, the same thing. It was just so comforting. And when we were on our honeymoon, when we were in Portugal, every night there was a knock at the door and some amazing treat with some libation arrived at our door. And it was from a No Agenda listener who knew somebody at the hotel that we were staying. And to me, that was just unbelievably kind and thoughtful, and we were so great. I'm so grateful for the community. And I actually have people who email me and that I correspond with directly on Instagram. And I just so I enjoy it.
Did you talk about your producers in New York?
Yeah, Migs.
Yeah, Migs. Yeah. Right.
Migs and I, we chat all the time. We're going back and forth. He posts things and I laugh, and he's just so kind and wonderful. And when we get to New York, we can't be. We gotta go.
We can go to New York.
I don't know if we can just get in.
We just can't sleep or eat anywhere.
Yeah,
we can get.
I
want to
meet him because he's such an amazing, amazing person. So yeah, hopefully. Anyway, so that, I think that answers her question.
Well, to add to that, it's like. Because the people who are in Gitmo Nation in general are the people who make the world run. They're people who have jobs that are important. It's a little bit Mike Rowe kind of audience often.
Yeah, good comparison.
Yeah, because we have the dudes in Dudette's name, Ben, who are running servers and everything in the world. But we also have park rangers, sanitation workers, lots of nurses, doctors, police, military. The people who make the world, the country and the world run. Mm-hmm. And so when there's something that needs to be fixed or someone needs to be helped out, it's cool because it's not coming from someone with money and power. It's coming from someone within the system who knows that there's sub-networks that we actually can make the system work for us. It's very encouraging to me. It's like a perpetual resistance that no one really knows is even there, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. Exactly. I love that.
Well, and when we go to meetups too, it's so heartwarming to meet all these people. And for me, it's just an odd thing. I mean, I'm just a Midwestern woman that happened to meet and marry Adam Curry. And when people are like, "Oh my God, the keeper," it's just so hard for me to reconcile that because I'm like, I'm just me. But they're so kind and generous and just wonderful, wonderful people. So the last email I wanted to read was from this Anne. I can't. How do you say her name, Adam? Because it's a Dutch name. Can you say that?
Annemiek Holder.
Annemiek Holder. And so she sent an email for feedback and she said, "Dear Adam and Tina, a quick note from Florida as I truly enjoyed the first episode of Curry and the Keeper. As a loyal listener of No Agenda Show and sharing the Dutch connection with Adam, I figured it was time to check out the new podcast. Tina, you have a natural, beautiful voice." Thank you so much. That's sweet. "That is so easy to listen to on the podcast, and it was a joy to listen to the two of you interact. Your conversations are very organic and authentic, something special between the two of you that was clearly noticeable on air. Loved hearing the stories, the current events, and laughter and love. Looking forward to many more episodes with my own glass of wine." She said, "My husband, Chris, is from Chicago. We met 30 years ago at Indiana University, where I was a Dutch exchange student.
Oh.
Grew up with Adam on air listening to Curry and Van Inkel every Friday night as a teenager in Holland, and
holy
now
crap.
As a Dutch American raising our family in Florida. It's been a pleasure to reconnect, listen, and navigate the world with everything that's going on." So what a connection, because I lived in Chicago. She's from Holland.
That's cool.
I mean, isn't that crazy?
Very cool.
That was very kind. Thank you so much for sending that. That was cool. Very cool.
So value for value, which means we'd like to at least cover the cost of the wine. But moving forward, if you find this podcast of any value, then we ask you simply to try a new podcast app. You can get one at newpodcastapps.com.
My favorite is PodFriend.
Tina prefers PodFriend. There's mm-hmm. a lot of good ones. And you want to look for one at that newpodcastapps.com that does value for value streaming payments. And this is what I clearly believe is the future of media. And it's like when you're listening, I made an analogy today, which worked pretty well. Imagine you have your favorite podcast app and you have Venmo. And we just stuck the Venmo onto your podcast app. And whenever you hit play, you predetermine, I want to send this podcast $1 an hour. So every minute, 1/60th of a dollar is transferred from your Venmo to the podcaster's Venmo. That's what's happening, except it's with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Because Venmo can't actually do that. It's impossible because of the fees, etc.
But Bitcoin, you're transferring sats.
Satoshis, which is 100 millionth of a Bitcoin.
So how many Satoshis is equivalent to $1?
Right now, it's about 2,100 satoshis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're at 48,375 right now. So 50 is kind of roughly, you know, 100,000 satoshis would be $50. Mm-hmm. So let's look at what people sent us in value.
Yeah. And I just have to say, if you need to learn about Bitcoin, there's a great website called Learn Me a Bitcoin. Is that what it's called?
Oh, I don't know if that's what it's called.
I went on it
what
to
is
learn.
It? I'll put it in the
learn
show notes.
Me a bit.
Is it learnmeabitcoin.com?
Learnmeabitcoin.com. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's a learn very
me a Bitcoin.
It's a very remedial it talks about it from the beginner's perspective. So, it's very interesting and it makes it easy
did
to
you
understand.
Learn? Did you
I
learn
did?
About
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did you learn?
Oh God, you're putting me on the spot.
No,
here.
I just tell me what your takeaway was. I mean, what you learned is unimportant. What's your takeaway?
Well, how it's a network that everybody is connected to. And so when a transaction is made, everybody knows about the transaction. Mm-hmm. So that's what I learned.
That is actually the problem that was solved.
And it's decentralized too. There's no middleman.
In fact, that laptop right over there is a part of the Bitcoin network.
Oh. All right.
It's verifying transactions. Okay. It's doing all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are a node on the Bitcoin network.
Okay.
It's the future.
Yeah. Anyway, so go back to the booster.
So when you get a new podcast app, you can, if you're listening and you're sending your, whatever your satoshis per minute, you can also, if you like something a lot, you can send a boost. And there's a button, they all have it, and you can determine how many satoshis you're going to send. And you can even do a boostagram, which is adding a note.
Yeah.
So I have, and this is from our first show, which is unbelievable to have any kind of feedback at all. To see these boostergrams coming in real time was incredibly exciting to me personally.
So every time a boostergram comes through, Adam's phone goes pew pew.
It's actually Dave Jones developed this software, and we wanted it to be just like that movie. Where the porn guys who set up the credit card, it's called The Middlemen. And they set up this company.
Wait, you've been watching a porn movie called The Middlemen?
No.
Oh.
No. If I'm watching a porn movie, I'll call you over and say, look at this shit, baby. I don't watch porn in quite
a
while.
What is she wearing?
Exactly. It's a true story about these two guys who started a credit card processing company called American Entertainment, I think. And the reason why is because people wanted to watch porn, you know, pay for it, but they didn't want, you know, Pornhub on their credit card. So these guys would be in the middle.
Oh.
And these were like...
I have to look at a credit card statement. But anyway, go ahead.
These were two degenerate guys, and they're strung out on coke and alcohol, and they build this thing. And then all of a sudden, then they have a buzzer hooked up or a bell hooked up to it. So if someone does a transaction through them, they get $9.95. And so they're like, they have no more money. They've built this thing. This is in the, I think, 90s. And then they're in this drug stupor. And all of a sudden you hear.
Oh.
And that's all the transactions coming through, right? Now. So we had a version of that, which is more like, that's the sound that it makes. It does that pew sound. And so here's some of the boostergrams with the amounts. And when I have it, the people who sent it. Actually, I'll go in reverse order since this was the first show. The title of the show was I Like Your Shoes. The first boost was from me because I had to test it. And then the second
one. What was the message? Did you send a message?
First boost.
Oh,
of course.
First boost.
Hello. Then we got 1,500 sats from Madus. We said, enjoyed the show. Interested to see where y'all take it. Cheers. Then came Brian of London with 533 sats.
Oh,
he says,
thanks, Brian.
And he said, first question mark. Of course, that's, you know, that this thing. So no, you weren't, but you were close. Then we had Mere Mortals. That's Kyron and from Australia, uh-huh. who I did the interview with uh-huh. recently. He says, welcome to the world of podcasting, Tina. Judging from this first episode, you're a natural. Yeah. Go podcasting. Hold on a second. I have my go pod. Where's my go podcasting thing? Here we go.
Go podcasting.
Now, Chad Farrow, he's a huge promoter of podcasting 2.0. He sent a whole bunch of different boosts, a lot of 333s. And he's just supporting us. He even a 3333. So he's been sending multiple dollars to us, and we appreciate it. Then we have Stephen B. Now he makes CurioCaster.
Oh, yes, cool. Thank you.
And he lives in San Antonio.
Oh, let's have lunch, Stephen.
He's in the hospital right now.
Oh.
You want to hit, this is a shitty story, literally. He had a colonoscopy done, and somehow it was like something fused to with something else, and now, like, he has to be in the hospital. He's like his colon fused to something else where they were doing it, and so they have to, his colon was twisted, and he could become septic. It's like a horrible ordeal.
Oh my God, I don't want to HIPAA him. You already have, but
well,
okay.
He's basically in the hospital coding. He's like, I'm so bored here. But he has to be there because they can't operate on him, so that he has to go through some process.
So he went in for a routine colonoscopy?
I'm not sure. I believe so, yeah. Yeah, shit?
Yeah, note to say self, shit? Don't do that.
You can't say words like shit when it's about colonoscopy. It's just it's too polarizing.
Aww.
I didn't realize you live in Fredericksburg, he says. My wife has an uncle who's a doctor up there. Dad owns 33 acres in Comfort, just south of you. You made the right choice moving further to the west of Austin. If you haven't checked out the LBJ Homestead and Wild Seed Farms off 290, which we have not done yet, I recommend them both. My wife and I enjoyed these two places when we did our anniversary in Fredericksburg. We're going to have them over.
For sure.
When he's out. He's going to be okay, though. We know he's going to be okay. And he actually sent us two boostergrams, each with 2,222 sats.
Oh,
nice. 222, which is known as a row of ducks.
Oh, a row of ducks.
Yeah, you know how ducks look?
Yep, got it.
Then we have Aqualith. Not sure exactly who that is. It says with a boostergram. Comic strip blogger also has boosted us with 3,333 sats. Greetings from comic strip blogger to Tina and AC. And anybody interested in artificial intelligence is welcome to subscribe and listen to the podcast AI.cooking that can be found on all podcast apps and in all indexes by searching for AI.cooking.
AI.
Yo. Comic strip blogger has been in my life twice as long as you have.
No, I know that. I know.
Comic strip blogger.
And he does the cartoons.
He does the, yes, he does.
I shouldn't say cartoons, but they're artwork.
Yes, artwork, illustrations usually are.
And how does he talk?
Hello, Tina. I love the new show.
Thank you.
You must tell Adam Curry to put video in podcast I want to see. We got 1,111 sats from an unknown supporter.
Wow.
We got Ville. Hey, question for Adam. Now that you're doing a pod with Tina, we'll be using the same strategy as with John C. Dvorak to keep it fresh, not talking between episodes.
That's impossible.
Interestingly, there's been a couple of things I'm like, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm going to try and keep it for the show.
Well, Adam goes, Tina, do you have your list for the podcast? I go, I gotta do a list. Really? He's like, yeah, you gotta write things down. Yeah, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Whatever's like present day, I guess.
4,900 sats from John's BRT.
BRT?
Yes, John's BRT. No idea who that is. Brian Massey. Oh, we have 2,222. Another from Anonymous. Brian Massey. 5,000 sats. Thank you. He says, boost. Then we have, let's see, this is a ham operator. Whiskey Bravo 4 Bravo Sierra Delta with 1,893 sats. And we're almost at the end here. 1,500 sats again from Matus. And then we got another Brian. I've had that one. Here we go. We've done it. The 1,893 from our ham friend, that was the last one. Thank you all so very much for supporting the show. We'd love to see some more. We'd love to have some other value return, like maybe a website. We'd love a website.
Yes. The website. We need a graphic for the show. That's what we need.
Yeah, you just threw this together on Canva, right?
I'm not a graphic designer.
It's not that bad, though. It's fine, I kind of like it.
But if somebody could perfect it a little bit, that'd be
awesome.
So
the total for our first episode was $17.
Nice!
Yeah, so almost got the wine out of it.
No, it didn't even pay for the wine. The wine was $23.
We'll do better. But we're growing with podcasting 2.0. It will take a little while.
We encourage you to have your glass of wine or whatever libation, yes, or coffee or water, whatever it is that you drink.
We also got an audio from one of our producers.
Let's hear it.
Let me see. He did a little song for us.
Oh.
I think. He sends me a lot of audio. This is Richard.
Leather jacket love story. This boy, he likes a fight.
What?
He did this on his home studio.
Got it right. Leather jacket love story.
We need a better recording.
I was going to say it's going from my left ear to my right.
Yeah, I immediately tried. It was, I guess, I didn't know it was off balance. It kind of loses a lot that way. Sorry about that. We'll just cut that out of the show. Don't worry. No one will ever hear that. No one will ever hear it happen. It didn't happen, people.
All right, didn't happen.
Okay. What else did I? I did want to mention, just because it's our forever charity, the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central Texas. For anyone listening in Central Texas, about their capital campaign.
Yes. Yeah, they are near and dear to our heart because, I'd have to admit, when I first applied for the job there, oh my gosh, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, I had no idea what they did. But what they do, if you are not familiar, is they take care of families whose children are in the hospital. So a lot of times families have to travel distances in order to get the care, medical care for the children that they need, and they don't have a place to stay. And because of the generosity of donors, we were able to open our home to them, and they were able to stay, so they were very close to their children. Austin is growing exponentially, and the children's hospital there, Dell Children's Hospital, has brought on some specialized caregivers, like cardiologists and neurosurgeons.
Pediatric. Yeah.
And so what has happened is people are flocking to Austin now for pediatric care, and they need a place to stay. And so the Ronald McDonald House has been so busy, and they have turned away how many people? Six out of 10 families are turned away because the house is full. And so they've embarked on this capital campaign to add 57 rooms, I believe. It's a 30 room house now.
Yeah, they need to raise $30 million, yes, basically.
And
yeah,
they've only raised $5 million. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of people don't know about Ronald McDonald House Charities until they need them.
You need it. They're like, yes. Holy. So just understand, when your kid is sick in the hospital and you live 25 miles away, 25 miles by itself is devastating to a family for work, you know, because someone has to be with the child going back and forth. It ruins everything. And then how many parents do we know have slept in their cars?
Right. Well, think about it. I mean, you don't want to be 25 miles away from your child who's in a hospital.
And it's no cost at Ronald McDonald House.
No, everything is free. So they get 3 meals a day. They get a place to stay. They get internet access. They have laundry facilities. They have everything. And that's because of the generosity of the donors. So when you think about Ronald McDonald House Charities, I mean, think about how they're supporting families. And we're definitely trying to help them raise is it $30 million that they're trying to?
Yeah, I'm really devastated because people just aren't thinking about this. You're right. And they will. And I'm looking at you, Elon Musk, when you bring 5,000 people to Austin. These are young people that we're going to have a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And, this is such an important, I've been a supporter of Ronald McDonald House 20 years before I even knew you.
Really?
In Holland. Oh yeah.
You did the Make-A-Wish.
I did that flights, too. That's when I had the helicopter. I did Make-A-Wish. But mm-hmm. Ronald McDonald House, I once bought like a 50,000 euro tulip.
Tulip?
Yeah. I could name it. Oh. Yeah. Donna Summer was there before she passed.
Oh.
Yeah. But always supported Ronald. I'd love the idea. That's how we met, by the way. We already talked about that. It's because of that. And it's they're all separate, right? They don't get money from, they get some, but they don't get real money from McDonald's. It's not like McDonald's is paying for it,
mm-hmm.
right?
No. Oh, no. Well, McDonald's provides them a portion of the Happy Meal sales, and they also do the roundup for RMHC. So if you go to McDonald's and you purchase something and you want to round up your order.
They don't ask for that, except during special weeks.
Yeah. They should.
People need to ask for it themselves.
But it equated to, in every Ronald McDonald House has a geographic location. So, and ours in Austin expanded several counties. And so any McDonald's that was in that county filtered into the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central Texas. And with the roundup for RMHC, it was about $100,000.
Really?
The coins, yeah. It was a lot of money.
And all these McDonald's who participate, they're independent operator owners.
Yeah.
Love those people. Who's my favorite? What's her name?
Becky Russell.
Becky Russell. I love Becky Russell.
Adam loves his McDonald's too, by the way.
I do. So I had a thought about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always talk about starting a foundation. You know, we could easily put RMHC in the value block and give them like 10% of whatever we get from Boostergrams.
For sure.
Could we talk to Sarah, make sure that they go straight to them and that she can manage that?
We'll figure it out.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But yeah, Ronald McDonald House Charities is near and dear to our heart because that's how we met. And, you know, that's how Adam seized upon the opportunity to get to know me.
Oh, please. Okay. Before we leave then, let me just, the one part that was left out of all stories is that Tina was waiting for me, like, you know, waiting to trap me as I was leaving the building.
Like trap dog Phoebe.
She had an empty box she was pretending to look at with her intern.
Wait, back up.
Oh, look at this box.
Back up a minute.
Oh, hi, Adam. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. We were just looking at this empty box.
Back up a minute. So when Adam started talking to me and Christina approved me.
Yes, she did.
He asked me out to dinner and he said, we'll go out to dinner after the bandana ball.
Yes.
And so we were texting
because
back and forth.
I didn't want to mix personal with professional.
So, but it was a month after bandana ball and he still didn't ask me out for dinner. And so I had to take matters into my own hands. Come on, dude.
I was occupied. I was busy.
I was busy. In air quotes. Yes. Yeah. Busy. Watching C-SPAN. So anyway, I had to take matters into my own hands. And so I knew he was at a meeting at Ronald McDonald House. And I just positioned myself strategically so that he would see me. And finally, he made it happen. It took a while. But aren't you glad it did?
Oh, my God. I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Yeah.
I am. What do you say? Should we make some dinner?
Yeah.
What do you have?
We're doing salmon and roasted vegetables for dinner.
That means I'm doing the salmon. You're doing the roasted vegetables.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Adam. I had a good time.
Oh, well, thank you, Tina.
How what?
How formal of you. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Tina. We really
appreciate
it.
It's the keeper to you.
It's the keeper. Everybody else, everybody. It is the keeper. That's it. Curry and the Keeper for December 15, 2021, episode 2. Get a new podcast app at newpodcastapp.com and boost us. Boost us. We'll see you in 2 weeks, y'all. Yeah.